doing this work, it takes us through things consciously or more consciously than most in terms of being able to look at states, be able to work through them, bring the word to them. But the things that arise for us that we bring to the word, there's nothing in that that every human being hasn't experienced. But what this opportunity for us is that we can bring that experience to the word. You know, this is the gift of the Lord, whereas so many others just don't have that. And so they can be overwhelmed by their experiences. And so when you focus more on your direct experience and use that as a bridge into the experience of another person, that's the connection. That's where those truths can be shared. And they don't have to be stated, you know, statements of truth. They can be carried in the spirit of openness and willingness to just find what's needed, or just be open to the Lord to bring what is needed for that person to be lifted in some way. So it doesn't have to be complex. And it can be, if you know the person, it can be as much as your truth could be found in a hug or sitting alongside someone. You know, that's your truth. Like one of the examples that we are really familiar with in, say, a logopraxis context, so far as the exchange is concerned, is that we've each been given a gift that's come out of our practice. You know, we do the work, we work with what we're given, but the actual gift is not for us, it's for the group. And it's for the group in the sense that we are to offer it without owning it. So no one here is here to convince anybody else to think the way each of us does. There's an acceptance that there's a unique way or a unique form of mind that each of us carries, and that that has real value in the fact that because each mind is different, it's able to bring a perspective of the text that no one else can access. And so, like in a life group setting, that is the many churches, if you like, that can be bound into a whole through the practice of charity, which is the willingness to hold what others are saying in a way whereby it's accepted as being from the Lord, because it's out of their experience of the word working in their life. So there's that aspect there. So I've kind of been just working with this idea that we all are on a search, and we all carry a question or questions that drive that search or motivate it. We may or may not be able to articulate that, but the deep questions that we carry are what form what comes into our awareness. And so what comes into our awareness as we're listening to another in round one, we can bring to round two in a way whereby we're just putting what we have been given out into the sphere of the group. And that will be received by others in their own way. And it doesn't even have to be received in terms of what was spoken, doesn't have to be what is heard. But what is received into another person is what meets what they carry within them. So there's this point of meeting between what is heard and what is arising. And it's at that point of meeting that there's a boundary, and there will be certain things that pass through that boundary and certain things that will be put on the shelf, as it were. But whatever comes up in that process is then another gift for the group, not to convince anybody of anything or to have others accept the way I see things or anything like that, but just to move the process of extension. You know, the extension of truths is often spoken about, or spoken about here, and we have spoken about it quite a bit in the Genesis series. But there is this, what's termed this extension into different areas that can then form something new. So that part of the reading that I read at the start with regard to listening, don't presume to have heard or understood what another has said, but just go with what's arising. And then that way we give the Lord more leeway in our midst to bring to the fore something of a higher quality. So the idea that, you know, so much of our lives in the world and what we experience in the world through the forms of teaching and all of that kind of thing, organizations we belong to and all of that, it's all about having others conform to some kind of criteria or ideal or something along those lines. Whereas, and we get caught up in doing that ourselves, you know, in our families and our relationships and all of that as well. But what Logopraxis offers us is a new way of being in contact with others, where we're not looking to change them, or because really only the Lord can transform people. We can't. But what we can do is just be faithful and putting out there in the spirit of charity what we have been given in any given situation or contact with another. Now, often what happens if you have cross-talking is that you start going down blind alleys very quickly because you feel like you've got to respond to the thing that's immediate. Whereas when you just allow people to speak and just be there with deep listening, then something starts to emerge. I've seen it happen, and I believe it almost always happens where there's that kind of listening going on. Something of a real depth, so far as its quality goes, comes to the fore. Whereas when you have cross-talking, what often happens is you just butt heads, really, and it doesn't go anywhere because it can't, essentially. The beauty of a group, of course, that's focused on that is that you have all the structures are there to help you to do that. But a Logopraxis life group is a practice group. So the idea is to actually take this opportunity to do the practice, to attend to our states as best we can. Even in this setting, that's not easy. But over time, as we become more sensitive to being aware to what's arising, then we learn how to trust that as being the Lord speaking in us. It's like that still small voice. And if we give that attention, or if we learn how to give that attention, then it can be present, of course, in any contact, because the Lord is flowing in to everybody in the contact, whether it's in a Logopraxis group or outside it. The Lord is still present. And what we're trying to do is develop a sensitivity to recognizing that. If you're working consciously, you won't be a doormat. It won't happen. The feeling of being a doormat is often when we're caught in proprium and we feel like we're being undermined and taken advantage of and things like that. But if there's no attachment to what's coming, you can't be taken advantage of. The beauty of what's here is that the purification is by means of these assault. You know, this infestation is actually something the Lord is using in order to establish us so far as what we're attached to separate us from those more external things that have ruled over our life, to become more grounded in what is of the word itself, or doctrine as the rule of life was the term used in here.